Okay, let's pray for this little bit. I pray that each of us in here, and that includes me, will be able to find that one thing, that one phrase, that one sentence, that one message, that one picture, that one idea, which will change things. I pray that each of us can be open to be changed by you. It doesn't matter whether we're new to this or whether this has been part of most of our lives. I pray that we can find something, each of us, through your strength and through the things that you say to us, just one thing that will stay with us for the rest of today, for the rest of this week, and maybe for the rest of forever. So it's a big prayer, but we're praying it to a big God. So I ask for each of us that there will be one thing that we will be able to focus on because of this morning's service. So be with me as I say stuff, but more importantly, Lord, be with everybody here, that the words that are going in through people's ears, but also through their hearts and their minds and their souls, that they would be words from you. Amen. Okay. There's a few people here who are still at school, but you know when you were at school and you were given some homework and you knew that it had to be in for a week later, and then suddenly someone in the class worked out that a week later was like May Day, or was the last day of term, or they knew that the teacher was going to be away in a week, and suddenly someone worked out that meant you had 2 weeks to do your homework, or 3 weeks to do your homework. Well, Pete set some homework last week, and he's not here. So it means that you've got a couple of weeks. In fact, he's not here next week either. So it means the homework that he set a couple of weeks ago is for you to do, and you know, if you haven't done it yet, or you haven't thought about it yet, there's still a fortnight in order to get it done before teacher comes back. And this was the homework, and I couldn't remember what the actual words were of the homework, and I'm really pleased that a few people did. And the question was this: when did you last spend a significant time alone with God? Now, I think Pete put a Twitter thing on a tweet, Reverend Tweet. I think he put something on the internet as well that added a little bit at the end. But I'm going to basically stick with that bit. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? Now, there's a couple of things that are going to go on here. One is the piece of paper that hopefully a bunch of you have got. If you haven't got the piece of paper, I have a few here. Tony's got a few at the back. If you want to stick your hand up, if you haven't got one. These are some verses that I found which had got something loosely to do with the idea of being quiet and making space and being alone. Now, some of them are a little bit more disconnected to that idea than others, but I'm going to give folks an opportunity to read through these as we go through. There'll be some little gaps where you can find some of these. I'll perhaps ask people to say something about them in a little while. But these verses are not to do with big and bold and in your face and loud and extravagant. They're to do with quiet and still and alone. So a lot of what we do as a church, a lot of what we do as Christians is work with other people. But it seems to me that what Pete was asking us last week was to do with something that was individual, which is why the word alone is in that sentence. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? Now, some months ago, I think it was Carol, but Carol had a tongue, and with the leaders chatted about it a couple of weeks later, and then we brought back our kind of interpretation to the church. And the message, the prophecy was about this idea that we as a church are not perhaps listening to God as we should. And when somebody brings a message from God to a church that says, we are not listening to God as we should, that's a pretty heavy deal. And when we were thinking about it in a leadership team, we wondered and we went for it, and we wondered whether what the criticism was being levelled at us was that we had called Pete to be our leader, to be our minister, and he is clearly a man of God and is clearly delivering messages from God, so we should be acting on the things that Pete says and trusting that he is giving us God's words. So whenever we read stuff in the Bible, we are happy to pick apart the sentences and to pick apart the context and to pick apart the things that the Bible says. So what I want to do, I'm not saying Pete's word is, you know, popish or anything, but let's just pick apart that sentence that Pete said, because he thought it was important enough to set us as homework. He thought that it was important enough to say from the front, and we have called him to be the word of God to our church. So I reckon we can afford to pick apart what Pete has asked us to do just a little bit at a time. Okay, so when did you last spend a significant time alone with God? Right. When did you last? That presumes there was a first time. Now, for some of you folks, the last time that you spent a significant time with God might have been yesterday. For some of you folks, hand on heart, it would be difficult for you to actually think of a time that you could describe as significant with God. But the implication that Pete has put in that word, in that sentence, by saying, when was the last time? I think he's kind of implying that he's talking to a bunch of Christians, because he was talking to us as a fellowship of God's church here. But if he's asking us, when was the last time? There is an implication that there was a first time. So here we go. Here's a little thing. Those of you who have a first time, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, a minute or so, just to remember that first time. The first time you had a significant experience of God. The first time that you were alone with God. The first time that it struck you that this was actually real. And for those folks who are struggling with that, pray that that happens this week. Pray that your first time meeting with God happens this week. Now, you're all big enough and old enough to be able to pray stuff for yourself. So I'm going to give 30 seconds to pray either a prayer of thanks for that first time, or a prayer of yes, please, if you would like there to be a first time. So I'll give you 30 seconds to just pray those quietly to yourself, you talking to God. So Pete's question, when did you last spend a significant time alone with God? I think there is an implication with that word when that Pete is kind of implying that it might be a rare thing. Now, I know, looking around at some of you guys, that it is not a rare thing for some of you. It is for me, and I'm presuming it is for a bunch of us as well. But when? I think it presumes it's rare. So again, I'm going to give you a chance in a little while just to do a little bit of a prayer to you about God, between you and God, about the frequency of times in your life when you feel close. I think it was Martin Hardwich first introduced the idea to me anyway, and I think church, about the times in our lives when the distance between the spiritual and the physical is thin. And it feels as if the spiritual is near to us. Now, Pete's question, when did you last spend a significant time alone with God? I think there is an implication in that, that it's rare. If it isn't rare for you, wicked, brilliant. But if you're like me, it's rare. Now, that's not a bad thing, I guess, because rare things have treasure and have beauty, and those things are easy to be remembered. If diamonds were common, they'd be cheap. But diamonds are rare, so you remember them. So if for you, encounters with God are usual and normal and everyday, brilliant. Thank God for that now in the next little while. But if encounters with God are rare, then ask him to make them memorable. Ask God that you will find these encounters and you will be able to treasure them like diamonds. Okay, so if you do have encounters with God that are common, thank God for that now in the next 30 seconds or so. If you have encounters with God that are rare, ask God that you will be able to treasure them. So 30 seconds just to pray again. Okay, three more of these. Three more? Maybe two. Three. When did you last spend any significant time alone with God? Significant. Now, significant is often a word that is used to mean substantial, sizable, big. I don't think that's what this means here. It doesn't mean when did you last spend a big chunk of time. Significant means it's signifying something. It has done something. It has changed something. Something has happened because of this time that you have spent. Now, this goes alongside with the prayer we've just prayed, hopefully. The idea that the times that you encounter God, the times that the space between the spiritual and the physical is thin, that it actually makes a difference. That it actually makes a difference. It's not just a case of, oh, that was nice. It actually changes the way that you live, the way that you think about God, the way that you live your life with Him, the way that you live your life with each other. So if a time spent with God is to be significant, it isn't just this is a significantly large piece of carpet. It's not just a large time, it's a significant time, one that signifies something, one that is a signpost for something else. I spent some time with God here, and this is where my life changed. Now let's pray this together. Dear Lord, I pray that the times that we encounter you change us. I pray that the times that we are close to you make a difference to our lives. And I pray, whether that be with everybody else here or whether it be in times that we are alone, I pray that encounters with you make us different. Amen. Two more. Alone. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? It implies that alone is good. It implies that alone is good. It implies that there is something special that happens when you are alone. Is it to do with just not being distracted by other people's needs? Is it just to do with the fact that you haven't got to worry about other people? Is it just because it's you and it's just you? I don't know why, but it does imply that alone is good. For some of you folks, alone is difficult. So for some folks, alone is all too easy. But it does imply that there is something very special about the idea of being alone with God. So if there are times where you need to make more alone happen, that's your prayer. If your prayer is that you need to make more use of the alone that you have anyway, then that is your prayer. We glibly say as Christians, I'm never alone when I have Jesus. It's a lovely, easy sentence to say. But does it really feel genuinely true that when you are alone with Him, you are actually with somebody? Because it should do. It should feel as if you are with somebody. And if it doesn't feel that you are with somebody, that's a prayer to pray as well. So, another 30 seconds. If you find alone being difficult, pray that you can find times to be alone. If alone is actually easy, then pray that you will remember to use that time in order to be with God. So if alone is easy, pray that you will use it. If alone is difficult, pray that you will find some alone. I'll give you another 30 seconds or so. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? This is the last one. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? The implication is the whole of that is a good thing. So let's just think about that for a while. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? There is a presumption that that is a good thing. So let's just work out why that is a good thing. If you could imagine, if all of us... Do you know that you do hopefully know the little thing, WWJD? What would Jesus do? It used to be a bit of a craze for having it on wristbands and stuff. What would Jesus do? Now, it does seem to me The only real reason that you can with any confidence wear that on your wrist is if you know what Jesus would do. And the idea of spending time alone and the idea of spending time listening to God, working out what Jesus is about, reading the Bible, listening to him through the responses that you feel and you hear and you experience. If you can have a better understanding of what Jesus would do, just imagine if that was all of us. Just imagine if that was the body of the church, having a really good grasp of what Jesus would do in all sorts of situations. So what would Jesus do implies that we know what Jesus would do. I heard a phrase the other day that I haven't written down that I'm going to try and remember now, which is going to be really tricky. So if I trip over it, I might have to start again. But it went something like, you know that you have made Jesus in your own image. That's right, so far. You know that you have made Jesus in your own image if your Jesus hates the same people that you do. So if you use what would Jesus do in order to judge people and to be harsh to people, then you've got it all the wrong way round. You're not listening to him. You're not spending time with him. You're actually deciding what you want God to be. But I'll read it again. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? There is an implication that that is a good idea. And I think it is, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, all that kind of stuff. If all of us were to spend more time alone with God, just try to imagine what difference that would make to us as a body of people. And also, it would prove to Pete that we'd done our homework. And it would prove to him that we wanted him as our minister. It would prove to him that we recognized that he was called to be our pastor. It would prove to him that the things that he was saying at the front were things that we thought were worthy and worth acting upon. Now, how, when, and why, I guess, is tricky, and it's going to be different for each of us. How? Through reading, through observation, through silence. Why? For goodness, for holiness, for guidance, for relationship, for God. So how and why? And then when? When should we do this? Well, now. Tomorrow, the next day. I would say don't set yourself a target that's ridiculous. If this is a thing that you rarely do, don't try and do it once every 5 minutes, because that isn't going to happen. But I am going to ask that you leave this place with an idea of what you are going to do about this. This was homework after all. What is it that you are going to do about this? Now, I did wonder, and the reason for the printed piece of paper is just the idea as to whether one of those verses about silence, about space, about aloneness actually made sense to you, or was one that stood out. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to read them through, and then I just wonder if anybody who feels that there is a verse that is especially being written for them would just like to say which one it is, and then maybe explain why. So have a read through, and if you feel that you can see one that is definitely for you, then let us know. If nobody's rushing, that's absolutely fine. I'm just it could be a thing that you start off your alone time with God. It could be something that you take home with you. And this is how your time of aloneness with him could start. I'll read the question once again. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? That whole sentence implies that that is a good idea. Ask God that you will be able to make time to do this. This week, today, this afternoon. For you, it's got to be appropriate for you and your lifestyle and everything else. But making some time for God might be a sacrifice that you need to make, and you need to put something else aside. Or it might be something that helps you in times where you would have just been at a loose end. But there is an assumption from Pete's question that it is a good idea. And it seems to me that it would be a fantastic game changer for the church if each of us could reliably think of the last time where we spent some significant time alone with God. Let's sing another song together, and then we'll prepare for communion. And he said he'd be praying for Yardley Baptist Church and this service this morning from the Sea of Galilee. So there's no magic to these places, but you just kind of think if a prayer counts, it's going to count on the Sea of Galilee. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? So this service is probably the only one in Yardley Baptist Church's history where the minister is praying for it from the Sea of Galilee. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, and jealousy is a bad thing, but okay. So, time spent alone with God. I asked people in the very first bit to think about when the first time that it made sense, the first time that it struck them, the first time where you kind of felt that this wasn't just a thing in a book, the first time where Jesus seemed real, the first time where God was close, the first time where the walls between here and there were thin. So I would like you to keep thinking about that and see if, especially when you're receiving the bread, because we always do this the same and it's lovely. The bread is for you. So I know that we're surrounded by people, but shut your eyes. Pretend there's nobody there. Because the bread is for you, and that could be just a small alone time. Yeah, keep your eyes open when you're getting it. But the bread is for you. The bread is for to represent the fact that Jesus died for you. The wine is a little bit different because we wait until everybody's got it and we drink together. But just if you can, in this space where there's a load of people, this could be the first little chance after what I've just spoken about today. The first little chance for alone. So relish it. Look for it. Receive it. If God has something to say to you, allow him to do that. So Jesus joined with the disciples. He knew how the story was going to go. They kind of knew, but they were getting confused as to what bit was parable and what bit was real. When he told them that he was going to die, he thought it was just another story. They thought it was just another story. But he knew the outcome, and he knew what was waiting for him once this meal was finished. But he took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And he asked us to do this in remembrance of him. So let's just say a prayer of thanks for this food. Which was what it was. There was no magic to this in the same way there's no magic to the Sea of Galilee. It's just some bread. But let's pray for it in the same way that we ask God and we give thanks for the food that he gives us. Dear Lord, dear Father God, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for the food that you give us. We thank you for the sunshine that makes it grow. We thank you for all of the things you provide for us. But for this bread, we thank you that it represents something else. It represents the body of Jesus broken for us. I pray that you will help us remember alone times. We pray that you will help us think of the first times and help us be grateful and thankful and praiseful of the times that you have spent with us. Amen. So yes, let's remember these times as we take these bread as an individual. Let's see if we can use this as an alone time with God. Difficult to get into the minds of what the disciples must have been thinking, but the very words of "this is my body broken for you," and just the idea of not tearing, I guess, kind of cracking this bread apart, would have been something that would have changed their lives forever. For them, it was an encounter with God that would have changed their lives forever. Let's see where we go this week with the idea of looking for times where encounters with God can change our lives forever. So Jesus took some wine and he poured it and he explained that this was his blood. Now there's nothing magic about this stuff. It isn't even wine. But it's what it represents, clearly. It represents everything. It represents the fact that we are loved by God. It represents the fact that Jesus died for us. It represents the fact that we can spend time alone with the creator of the universe. It represents all of these things. There is no barrier between us and God because of Jesus' blood spilt for us. So a prayer to God now is heard. And this is just all mixed up in what all this stuff represents. So let's pray for this wine. Lord, bless this grape juice to our bodies. We pray that it is good for us and we pray that it enriches us. But we also pray for the things that it represents. We thank you that you were willing to die for us. And we pray that we will get even a small understanding of the hugeness of the implications of that. We thank you that it shows us that you love us, that you are there for us, and that we can have encounters with you on a regular, blessed basis. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord smile on us, shine his light upon us. May the Lord lift us, turn his face towards us. Give us his peace, give us his peace. I love this bit in this song. Blessed, we came to this place today. And blessed, now we will go. I'll say that again. It says to do it three times in the song. I might do it three times now. Blessed, we came to this place today. And blessed, now we will go. Blessed, we came to this place today. And blessed, now we will go. One last thing to say before we go. When did you last spend a significant time alone with God? And the Lord said, do your homework. Amen.